Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Ayin Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the first wide line on Daf Ayin Hey. You'll see it about halfway down your page. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei Klali heading. Nosei Klali means a general topic heading. In one word, Mumin, the issue of blemishes. We had learned in the Mishnah that a man who marries his wife on condition that she has no blemishes and then discovers that there are blemishes, that is grounds for divorce and also no receipt of the ksuba. What we are interested in learning about is what constitutes blemishes that would be of such concern. So now we turn to the Gemara. Kol Mumin Shepoislin V'chulei. The Mishnah had said that all Mumin that render a Kohen unfit for service in the Beis HaMikdash, any blemish that renders a Kohen unfit, that goes without saying then that a Kohen who happens to be blemished cannot serve in his priestly capacity in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. So any of those blemishes that render a Kohen unfit render a woman blemished. In other words, she's considered unfit as well as far as the marriage is concerned. The Gemara continues, Tana, we have a Tanaic source that says, Hosifu Alehen. Note, by the way, that this is noted as source Aleph. On the next line, an alternative source is going to be presented and we'll have to resolve them. So it says here, Hosifu Alehen. Hosifu means there was added to the list of blemishes regarding women that you do not find by Kohanim the following three problems: Zeya, Vishuma, Vereach HaPeh. It's a little early at this point in the Gemara to commit ourselves to translations, but we'll give a translation, leaving in mind that we have to have some flexibility on this point. Zeya is in the realm of sweat, possibly body odor. Shuma is a wart, and Reach HaPeh is bad breath. Now, so that these problems, according to this source, are not problematic in the realm of Kehanim. The Gemara asks, Vahani b'Kehani lo pasli? These do not? Is it really so that these do not render a Kohen unfit? V'hatanan? We have a Tanaic source that deals with animal blemishes, and that has relevance in the realm of sacrificial offerings. So it says regarding mume behema, hazokein v'hachile v'hamezuham, an old animal, a sickly animal, and mizuham. Now, we want to make the assumption that mizuham is equal to zeah and reach hapeh. Utnan, and it's further more taught, mumin elu, bein kavuin, bein ovrin, psulim bodam. These problems, whether they're passing, they're temporary, or they're fixed, they're constantly there. Kavun means constantly there. Over means they're temporary. Psulin Bodam. Odam means man. It's a reference to Kehanim. They would render a Kohen unfit. So in simple terms, we have source Bays. This second source is saying that Zeya and Reach HaPeh are unfit by Kehanim. Source Aleph said they would not be unfit in the realm of Kehanim. So how do we resolve this? We have a couple approaches. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanino, lo kasha, there is no difficulty here. Kan bezeya oiveres, kan bezeya she'eno oiveres. Zeya is, again, we'll translate it as sweat or body odor. That's overes, that's temporary. So that is not a problem with kehanim. If a kohen experiences zeya overes, it's not a problem for him to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Kan bezeya she'eno overes, permanent zeya problem. So that's something that will render a kohen unfit. So source Aleph says that Zeya Overis is a problem only by women, and source Beis is saying that Zeya, that's not Overis, that's a problem even by Kohanim. Rav Ashi Omar, Zeya Amazuham Koramis. Rav Ashi, his approach is to really focus in on the translation. Source Aleph used the word Zeya. Source Beis used the word Mezuham. Up till this point, we were associating that the terms are interchangeable. Rav Ashi says, no, they're different things. Hosom gabi koyhanim, efshir la'abra b'kiwa d'chamra. In other words, maybe we should be just a little more accurate in saying that in source Aleph, you see, Zeah is used, and we were thinking that Mezuham poses a problem in source base to that which was said in source Aleph. But Rav Ashi says, no, you can explain them as follows. We glance at Rashi, Zeya amezuam koramis lav rum yohi. It's not a contradiction. Mezuam equals gufo masriach. He has his body has a foul odor. Uba odom nami posel. That is unfit in the case of Kohanim. Avol zeya di adam, eino poselis b'kohanim. Kiliktoni hosifu alehem. Zeya, that would be sweat. So that you have, mizuham is total body odor, and zeya is sweat. So Rav Yossi says, Rav Ashi says, hosom gabi kohanim, when you're dealing with kohanim, and you have a Zeya issue, Efshir la'abra b'kiwa d'chamra. There's a way to eliminate it, to push it away. La'abra is to have it removed by using kiwa d'chamra. Rashi says that this is it's a type of wine or wine byproduct. So he would apply this to himself until he finishes the avoda, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, so that while he was serving in the Beis HaMikdash, the Zeya was not a problem. Umei Reach HaPeh Nami, and as far as the Reach HaPeh that was mentioned in source Aleph, which is problematic only by women and not by Kohanim, why is it not a problem with a Kohen? Nami Efshur De Nokat Pilpulo B'Pumei V'Ovid Avoda. While he's doing the avoda, the reach hapeh, the bad breath, can be neutralized by having pilpula, often translated as a little peppercorn, in his mouth that would counteract the bad breath and serve thusly. Avol gabi isha lo efshar. But with regard to a wife, husband and wife, where he's conversing with her at all times, she can't be expected to use a pilpula to neutralize the Reach HaPeh. The Gemara continues now with a focus on Shuma. You'll notice we have arrows. You have one here. You have one of several lines up. Second wide line where the Tanaic source mentioned that Shuma is a problem by women, not by Kohanim. So the Gemara asks a question, this last a few lines. Hai Shuma Hechi Damya. The shuma, the wart that passels, that renders a woman unfit for marriage, and only women, not kohanim. What is the case? Is ba sayar. If it's a wart from which a hair grows forth, hacha v'hacha posla. this would render kehanim and women unfit. E delo is ba'sear, if it doesn't have the hair. Well, e shuma gedolahi, if it's a large wart. Hacha v'hacha pasla, in both cases of kehanim and women, it would render them unfit. E shuma ktana, he, if it's a small wart. Hacha v'hacha lo pasla, in both areas, it doesn't render it unfit. Desanya, and bearing in mind that we have to find a situation where a distinction is made. This Tanaic source speaks about the warts. Desanya shuma, sheyesh bo sear, hareze mum. A wart that has a hair growing out of it, that is a clearly defined blemish. Ein bo sear, if it doesn't have a hair growing out of it, gedolo hareze mum, a large one would constitute a blemish. Ktana ein ze mum, a small one is not considered a blemish. Beizo hi gedola, what is considered large? Pirush Reb Shmuel Gamliel, ad ki isor hitalki, from something very large down to the size of a coin called an isor hitalki, the Italian isor. So our question ends here. We don't see a case where a distinction will be made between kehanim and women with regard to shuma. Omer of Yossi Bar Chanina, be'oimedes al padachta. So Rashi adds that we're talking, in fact, about a small shuma with no hair growing from it. However, it's on her forehead. The Gemara asks, on her forehead, padachta rov nefayesu. A man meets a woman and she has this phenomenon about her. So he saw it. He likes her anyway. He agrees to it. So why should that be grounds for a divorce? Omar of Papa, Ba'imedes law, Tachas Kipo Shel Rosha. It's on her forehead, but it's at a point that a woman's head covering hides it. The Zimnin de Mischazia, the Zimnin de Lo Mischazia. Sometimes it's visible and sometimes it's not. So we have a situation where the man met the woman while at a point that the Kipo Shel Rosha, this headscarf or headgear was covering it. And then when they got married, it became revealed. And it's on those grounds that he would not have married her. Omar of Chizda, Ha Milsa Migava Rabba Shmili. Actually, before we go on, let's just note on the side, we have additional numberings. We didn't mention this earlier, but we had a Noseya topic heading a couple lines above, where we listed different problems opposite where they appear in the Gemara. So you can see above, we discussed Zeah, we discussed Shuma, and now we're at number 3, Noshcha Kelev, V'nasim Mekoy Mitzalekes, a person bit by a dog, and there remained a scar. And number 4, Keil Ova, a thick or horsey, coarse, gravelly type voice. And 5, dodim. Dodim are women's breasts. Merevach beinam and gasim. You'll see 2 aspects of that. Has to do with the space between them, the distance between them, and oversized. So now the Gemara. Rav Chisda tells us, Ha Milsa, the following, Migavro Rabba Shmili, I heard it from a great man, Umanu, who's the great man, Rabbi Shiloh. What did I hear from him? Noshcha Kelev, V'nasa Mekoy Mitzalekes, Hareze Mum. If a person was bitten by a dog, and as a result, the place of where he was bitten, a scar was left, that constitutes a blemish. Omer of Chisda, Kol ova beisha hare ze mum, and here Rav Chisda on his own is saying that a horsey or coarse gravelly voice, literally a thick voice by a woman, hare ze mum, that's considered a blemish. And Emar, the pasuk in describing a woman's voice, it says ki kolech orev umareich nove, your kol, your voice is orev, is pleasant, and your appearance is beautiful. So we have the koil of a woman being described as orev, and a koil that's ove, that's thick, wouldn't constitute something in the case of a woman of a pleasant nature. Tani, Rav Nosson Bira teaches, Bain Dode Isha Tefach. The distance between breasts of a woman is a tefach, a hand breath. Sovar of Acho Brei de Rovo Kamei de Ravashi Lememar Tefach Lemal Yusa. When Rav Acha heard this teaching, he understood that this is a good thing, a proper, a nice characteristic. Omar Le Ravashi said to Rav Acha, I have news for you. He says, Gabi Mumin Tanya. This teaching of Rav Nosson Bira is in the context of blemishes. So that would then mean that a distance of a handbreadth of a full tefach between the dodim is considered unseemly. So if that be the case for kamo, so what's considered pleasant? What's considered nice? Omar Abaye, shalosh etzbois, the distance of three finger widths. Tanya Reb Nosson Omer, kol isha shedodeha gasin mishel chaverta. Hare ze mum. Any woman whose breasts are larger than her friends, that is a blemish. Well, say larger than. Well, vakama, how much larger than other women? Omar of Mesha Barbre de Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishmei de Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So you have Rav Mesha, the grandson, quoting his grandfather, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Tefach. The discrepancy of a tefach in size would constitute the mum. The Marasu mi iko ki hai gavno? Is there such a thing? Seems to be a very large discrepancy. Could there be such a thing? In, yes, the Omar Rabo Barbachano, Aniro Isi Aravio Achas, Rabo tells us, I once saw an Arab woman, Shifshilo Dodeo Lachorel, Viniko Esbina. This is a pretty amazing description of a woman that was capable of let's say, slinging her dodim, her breast, over her back, over her shoulder, and nursing her child from behind. So, of course, that would entail something quite enormous in size. Now, we mentioned Rav Mesha a moment ago, so here we have a posuk that he will darshan. So since, once again, you have a case of a point in the Gemara whose presence here is only because of the name similarity. Ulutzion ye omar, ish ish yulad bo, v'hu yuchoneneo elyon. So the Pasuk is dealing with Tzion, with Jerusalem, with Israel, and Omar of Meisha Bar Braid Rav Yeshua ben Levi, he explains Echad Hanoilad Bo Vechad Metzapelir Oisa, whether one is born in Tzion, in Israel, or Tzion is a term that can refer to the Beis Hamikdash, it can refer to Jerusalem, it can refer to Eretz Yisrael. So whether one is born there or one is looking forward to it, to being there. So double expression of ish ish, even though the pasuk itself features one who was born in Israel, but the praise that this pasuk affords applies not only to one that's born there, but also one who looks forward to it. Omar Abaye, Chad Minayu Odif Kitre Minon. One of them, one of the people born in Israel, is considered twice as wise and sharp as one of us. One of us meaning we who dwell in Bovel or in the diaspora. Omar Rava v'chad minon kisolik lahasam. But one of us, when we go there to Eretz Yisrael, odif ketre minayu, becomes twice as good as the locals. And that would mean like it would be a basically a 400% increase The Rav Yirmiyah, the Chi Ave Ocha, when Rav Yirmiyah was here in Bavel, Lo Havi Yoda Mai Kwamri Rabbonin, he had a difficult time understanding what the rabbis were teaching, were saying. He saw the Glossum, and then we went to Eretz Yisrael. Kori Lon, he then referred to us as Bavloi Tipshoi, as the foolish Babylonians. So Rabbi Yirmiyah had gone from Bavel, where he had a hard time understanding the rabbis, and then when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he had become so sharp and insightful that he felt that the Babylonian rabbis were Tipshoi, were foolish. Before we go further, we have a topic heading, a nosei, and we indicate this goes to Daf Ayin Vov. Noldu Mumin Sofek Brishus Ovia Sofek Mishinis Arsop Almi Lahavi Raya. A woman develops blemishes, and there is a doubt. Is it a blemish that developed in her father's domain before the marriage, or after he, the husband, married her? And if it developed after the husband married her, naturally the husband then has no claim of divorcing her on the grounds that he married a blemished woman, because it turns out that it developed only after he was married to her. So when there's a doubt concerning the timing of the blemish appearance or development, who has to bring proof? Naturally, if it happened after the man married the woman, and let us say he wants to divorce her, so he'll have to pay the ksuba. And if you're dealing with a ktana, for example, if you're dealing with a minor, so the ksuba payment will go to the father of the girl. The Mishnah: Hoyu ba mumin v'oida beveisavia. She had blemishes appeared, and she was still in her father's domain. Ha'ov tzorach lavi raya. The father would have to bring proof if he wants to, let's say, have the upper hand, if he maintain the marriage, he'll have to bring proof. Mishinis arsa noldu ba mumin halalu, that after the marriage took place, the erusin is the first stage of marriage, during which time the girl is going to continue in her father's house until the time of nisuin, where the marriage is consummated with the chuppah and first act of intimacy. However, if the father is successful in bringing proof that the mum developed after the erusin, then the father says, it's your tough luck, he says to the husband. V'nistachva sadeu, and it's an expression that your field was washed away. It means it's your loss. Rashi says, ha'ov tzorach lavi raya, im bo litvoa ksuba min ha'erusin, if the father comes to collect the ksuba from this man, from the husband, that doesn't want to marry her. If the husband refuses to marry, so he'll have to divorce her and pay the ksuba, but only if proof can be brought that the mumin developed after the erusin. Nichnasa l'reshus habal. If the woman entered the husband's domain, that it means nisuin, and he wants to divorce her without paying the ksuba, based on the noticing or the appearance of these mumin, habal tzorach lavi raya shaad shelo nisarsa hoyu bo mumin elu. The husband, in order to avoid paying the ksuba, would have to bring proof that the blemishes were there before he married her initially. The hoya mecho mekartos, and the marriage that he had that he had done was a mistake. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the approach of Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim oimrim b'med devorim amurim. When can a husband claim that these mumin are grounds for divorce? B'mumin shebeseser. All of this has relevance to mumin that were not overtly visible. They were hidden. Avol b'mumin shebegoloi, but exposed blemishes, eino yochol liton. He can't claim the blemish as grounds for divorce or splitting up without having to pay the ksuba. Because he saw it, he was aware of it, and he agreed anyway. V'im yesh merchutz b'oisayir. If you're dealing with a couple that got married in a community where there's a bathhouse, af mumin shebeseser eino yochol liton, even regarding the covered parts of the body, the covered blemishes, he cannot use the mum as a claim for disbanding the marriage and not paying. B'nei shuhu b'bodka b'krovosav, because he is able to check her out, so to speak, through his female relatives that saw her unclothed in the bathhouse. So as far as that case or that scenario is concerned, there would be no distinction between Mumin Shebegoli and Mumin Shebeseser. Before we go into the Gemara text itself, you'll notice that we have diamonds that appear, and on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the diamonds highlight Diyukim Meha Mishnah. They are inferences drawn from the Mishnah. Gemara She'elis, the Reisha Krebi Yeshua V'Sefer Gamliel Hayitochein. The Gemara will ask, and this is a Gemara based on approaches and information that we saw at the very early part of this Masechta. We saw a Machlokes Tanoi between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel when a controversy arose in terms of claims between a husband and a wife who is granted believability. And we saw that Rabbi Gamliel tended to side with the woman's claims, and Rabbi Yeshua tended to side with the man's, the husband's claims. So when we approach this Mishnah and draw inferences from the different parts of it, we're going to end up coming out that the first part of the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua, and the second part of the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Gamliel. And you have an unnamed Mishnah, you would assume that there's one author of this Mishnah, and hence this presents a problem. Later in the Gemara, you'll notice a volcano shape, a trapezoid, and they highlight, those markings highlight, and they're also numbered in the Gemara, three gishot, three approaches, lahasbir Mishnah Senu, through it, with which we can explain the Mishnah. We have an additional note, a starred note in the other margin of the Gemara, which reads as follows. This is a general introduction to what we'll be seeing in the Sukkia, in the Gemara. Le'orech ha-Gemara, I'm reading the note on the side by the star. Le'orech ha-Gemara, le'orech omud zeh, as we go down this omud of Gemara, ha-Gemara tazkir mispar chazok ishanis. The Gemara will make reference to different chazokas. The word chazoka has to do with a status, with a known status or an accepted assumption. Exactly how to translate the word chazoka, that will be done as we go through each case. Leketa hanochachi, with regard to the immediate keta, keta is the section of Gemara, yesh, number one, cheskas momon shel habal. There's a concept of the known status of the money. When we talk about the money, we're talking about the husband's requirement to pay out the ksuba to the wife in the event of a divorce. So where is the current location, or what is the current status of the money? Well, it's the husband's money. So until anything is paid out, he is the possessor of the money. So he is said to have a chezkas mamon. This chazoka serves the husband. Mul tainas ha'av o ha'isha shetovim. It serves him in response or opposite the counterclaim of the father of the girl or the woman herself, that shetovim haksuba, that are laying claims on the ksuba. So that when you have an issue of doubt, one method of serving, of settling a doubt, is to look at the chazaka, so that the chezkas momon that the husband has, if there's an issue of doubt, we would say, leave things as they are, and the money would remain by the husband. He would not have to pay. We have another chazaka, chezkas gufa, the woman's body. When we talk about mumen are unusual. It's not something that you assume a person has. Ha'amed haguf al chezkasai ubeloi mumen nolda. You would assume, you would say that the body has its own blemish-free status. Namely, that the girl, when she was born without the blemish. And that strengthens her claims. Ayin behemshich l'rishimo shel chazokos neisofos. If you skim down or you scroll down the page, you'll see there are other kinds of chazokos, other kinds of, say, assumptions. I almost want to say social assumptions or known statuses that are presented in this Gemara. So you can see, if you allow your eye just to skim down the page, you'll see additional concepts. Chazokas Noisofas, we're reading on in our margin, Shinizkru, Beketa Shel, Chuvas Rav, additional chazokas that are referred to when we get to Rava's response in how to resolve our Mishnah. So you have a chazoka ein odom sheisa b'kaisam kein bodko, and that's, in skipping just a couple lines, is number two, chazoka ein odom mefayes b'mumin. So we'll see that as we go on. Let's now turn to the Gemara text. Taimo demaisi ha'ov raya. If the father is able to bring proof, then he will be believed. Holo maisi ha'ov raya. If the father does not bring proof, and we should, by the way, we should maybe look back at Omid Aleph, where the star appears, and Omid Aleph, we spoke about a situation of Mumin that were revealed while she was still in her father's domain. The father has to bring proof that the Mum developed after the husband had married his daughter. So we're saying that the father will be able to advance his claim if he can bring proof that it's after the marriage took place, and that if the husband insists on divorcing her, he'll have to pay the ksuba. Now we are medayik, we infer, halo maisi avraya, if the father cannot bring proof. Now, whatever the proof is, it has to be proof. We often speak about bringing witnesses, but whatever it is, if the father does not bring proof, habal mehemot. So you'd have a father versus a husband, each one arguing with one another. Who would we believe? We would believe the husband. Well, what do we see from this? The believability of the husband is because the husband is coming to the fore with a chazoka. And we say, Hameid momon b'chezgoso, leave the money where it is, so that the husband would not have to pay out the ksuba. Of course, that is true, as if we just leave it as a head off between the father and the husband, as opposed to a case where the father could bring proof that the mum developed after the marriage set in. So then the father would be able to claim the ksuba. We speak about, by the way, the father claiming ksuba. This is a case where the girl is still a minor that the father had married off. Moni. The Gemara asks, this idea of saying habal mehemon, this is in accordance with whom? Rabbi Yoshua he. This is in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua the Omar that has said, and this we saw much earlier in the Masechta, lo mipia anu chayim. We don't live based on her claims. In other words, to put matters simply, Rabbi Yeshua believes the husband, and he doesn't follow the Cheskas Haguf to say that, well, she was born without blemishes, which would have been a claim to strengthen her argument, her father's argument, that she was the blemish developed only later on after the marriage. Rabbi Yeshua places emphasis on the Baal and the Chezkas Momon, the status of possession of money that the husband enjoys. So once again, just to review the main point, the Reisha of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that husband versus wife, or wife's father who represents her, husband is believed. Amos Seifa, when we continue reading our Mishnah, and it said, if the marriage reached the Nisuan level, and she entered the husband's domain, and then the husband discovers that she has a blemish, Baal Tzorch Lovi Raya, the husband would have to bring proof that the blemish was there before he married her, in order for him to be able to divorce her without paying a ksuba. Taimo demaisya baal raya. The only reason that the husband would be able to win out in that case is because he brings proof. Ha lo maisi habal raya. If the husband wouldn't be able to bring proof, you just have the baal versus the girl slash father. If he can't bring proof, ha'av mehemon, then the father of the girl, which represents the girl, the wife, he would be believed. He would be believed, claiming that the mum in fact developed after the marriage took place, and that if the husband wants to divorce her, so the husband will have to pay out the money. So, and in the absence of a husband bringing proof, the father is believed. Ason Rav Gamliel. This would then favor Rav Gamliel's position in husband versus wife controversy. The Omar, Rav Gamliel has said, Ne'emena, she is believed. She has a Cheskas Haguf. She was assumed to have been born without a blemish. So she's considered blemish-free. If the husband wants to claim that she's blemished and that it happened before he married her and that his whole deal with her was a mekachdos, the husband would have to bring proof. In the absence of that, we believe the father slash girl. That goes like Rabbi Gamliel. So we said this is a problem to have the one Mishnah with split authorship. Well, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Tavra, mi sheshonazu, lo shonazu. That's exactly what Rabbi Elazar says. We have two authors in the Mishnah. He who taught the Reisha, and what did we say? The Reisha appeared to be authored by Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is giving believability to the husband, and that would carry through to the case of Nichnas Olerishus Habal as well, according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Seifa was a reflection of Rabban Gamliel, who believes the father, and that means we will believe the father all the time, not only in a case where the girl had entered the husband's domain, but even prior to that, even when she was still in Rosh Hashanah, we believe the father. In other words, the location of the woman, i.e. Rosh Hashanah versus Rosh Hashanah, makes no difference. If you are Rabbi Yoshua, you're going to believe the Baal. If you're Rabbi Gamliel, you're going to believe the Av. Okay, that's Rabbi Elazar's approach. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. On the side, we have a starred note, which reads, Tam HaSograyim, Kedei Mitzo Retzef B'Tshuvos. The reason we have this is a type of skip, if you want to appreciate the continuity of answers without interruption. So you would skip the bracketed section, and you see Rava Omar. Rava, he will tell you that, and this is not in the words of the Gemara, but Rashi points it out, that the Mishnah is according to Rav Gamliel in its entirety. Well, by saying it's Rav Gamliel, that means we generally speaking, would favor the father or the girl's, the woman's claim. And if that be the case, we have to then explain the seeming contradiction in terms of the inferences that we drew from the Mishnah. That's as far as the Gemara right after the brackets, where again, Rava comes to resolve the Reisha with the Seifa, and Rava's point is it's the Mishnah is authored by one individual. In the meantime, we having mapped out the Gemara a little bit, we go into the bracketed section, and our note says that B'soch HaSograyim, HaGemara Dona B'shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Within the brackets, the Gemara will be focusing, will be elaborating on Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Glancing at the side, we have a tat nosei, a subtopic heading, where we've written Biur Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Here, as we mentioned, within the brackets, we're going to focus on Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Mosai, when is it that lo azlinon bosar cheskas haguf? When is it that Rabbi Yeshua disregards the concept of cheskas haguf, as we had just seen? We saw Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rav Elazar's understanding, that where the husband has a cheskas momon, that wins out over the girl or the father's claim of the cheskas haguf, the body being blemish free. So in the brackets, Omar Rava lo tema, don't say the following. The following is that which we have in singular quotation marks. Don't say Rabbi Yeshua lo azu basur cheska chazoka degufa klal, that Rabbi Yeshua disregards that concept altogether. Not so. Elo, rather, ki lo azil Rabbi Yeshua boser chazoka degufa. When is it that Rabbi Yeshua disregards the chazoka degufa? Hechodiko chazoka de mamoina, where there is an opposing force of the cheskas mamon that the Baal enjoys. Avol hechodaleko chazoka de mamoina, where you don't have an opposing force of cheskas momen. Also, Rabbi Yeshua boser chazoka degufa. Rabbi Yeshua will follow the chazoka degufa. He will grant it strength. Desanya, and here is a manifestation of that. This is not in the realm of women or husband-wife controversy. The source is from the realm of Negoyim, of Tzoras. Desanya, if im baheres kodem l'seir lovan, tome. These are technical rules regarding establishing a person as a Mitzora. So we're not going to get into the whole realm and corpus of law that governs Tzoras. Let's just stick to the translation, and the point will be made anyway. If the Baharis is the bright or white spot that is symptomatic of Tzoras, if it appears on the body before the growth of a white hair that emerges from within that white spot, tome. That will establish the individual as a muchlot, as a mitzora, with all of the, we'll say, seriousness that is associated with that status. A mitzora, he's sent out of the community in a walled city, that is, he's meant to dwell outside the wall, and he's alone, etc. So if the white spot develops first on his flesh, and the Seir Lavan, the white hair, grows from within, in that order, that establishes Tumah. In Seir Lavan Kodem Lemeres, if, however, the person experienced the growth of a white hair on normal flesh, and then around the white hair, there developed a Baharis, a bright spot, a white section of flesh. Again, the order in this case is first white hair and then the skin discoloration. Tohar. That indicates that whatever he is not a mitzora muchlat. Safek, tame, if you have a doubt which came before what. So the Tanakhama rules, he's considered defiled. And here we want to emphasize, we've underlined his name, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Keha. My keha, what is meant by that word? Omar Rabo, keha is tohor, meaning, for our purposes, you have a person that was known to have a cheskas haguf. He had a bodily status of non-mitzora. Now, a doubt arises? Well, we mentioned earlier that the concept of chazaka is used to settle a matter which is in doubt. So here you have, on the one hand, a doubt as to which came first. On the other hand, there's a chezkas haguf that the man was tohar. He was known to have been mitzoras free up till this point. We let, Rabbi Yeshua says, let the chezkas haguf settle the matter. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua himself acknowledges the concept of chezkas haguf. All that we had said before was, according to Rabbi Yeshua, when the Cheskas HaGuf is confronted by a Cheskas Mamon, the Cheskas Mamon of the husband will win out over the Cheskas HaGuf of the girl. And again, when we speak of the girl, bear in mind, girl means girl and her father, because her father, because we're dealing with a minor, so the father represents the girl. Continuing, Rava Omar, you can see we've marked him, as we said before, already maybe a couple of times. He is a second approach to resolve what we saw above in the two diamonds. We had a Mishnah, part of which appeared to be according to Rabbi Yeshua, part of which appeared to be according to Rav Gamliel. So Rava says, and Rashi adds this, that the Mishnah understand it to be according to Rabban Gamliel. Resha, as far as the Resha, which meant Oida Beves Avia, where the girl was still in her father's domain, Kan Nimtzu, the Kan Hoyu. The Amumen were found while she was still in her father's domain. Therefore, where you find them is where they were. That's a literal translation. But since the Mumin were found while she was still in her father's domain, it's on the father, the burden of proof is on the father to say that they weren't here all the time, but rather they developed later. Seifa, where the Mumin were exposed in the husband's Rishus, Nami, the same principle, Kan Nimsu, the Kan Hoyu. What you see here is the Mishnah, as far as Rav is concerned, is quite consistent. The determination of who has to bring proof is based on this concept of where it was found. The burden of proof is on that individual. So if the Mumin were discovered in the husband's domain, we would say, well, they developed in his domain, unless he can bring proof that they developed prior to his marrying her. Triangles now appear, and you'll see if you skim down the page, you'll see how they appear in alternating directions. On the side under the Mivneh, the structural note, we indicate that the triangle is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take nature of the Gemara. The point facing up represent kushios. The inverted triangle represents tshuvos, responses. Esfe Abaye. Nichneso l'rishus habaal. Once she enters the husband's domain, of course, this is a quote from the Mishnah. You should use the arrow if you should want to see where this quote is coming from. You have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing to, indicating to look at Amud Aleph, and you see at the lower part, three lines from the bottom of Amud Aleph, the corresponding arrow. So the Mishnah had said the following. Nichnas l'rishus habaal, habaal tzorch lovi raya, she'ad shelo tis'areis, hoyu bo mumin elu, v'hoya mekhoi mekach tois. Once she enters the husband's realm, the husband has to bring proof that the mum developed before he married her altogether, and that his deal with her was a mistake. His mekach, literally his purchase, means his acquisition, his establishing of the marital status, was all on erroneous grounds. Now, we emphasize, ad shelo tisares in. How will the husband win out? Only if he can bring proof that the mumin were there a long time ago, meaning even before the erusin. Mishitis ares lo. But if he would bring proof that the mumin were there while she was still in her father's house, but at a point in time after the erusin, that would not work for the Baal's claim. It wouldn't benefit the Baal. Now we have to spell out. When we say here, Mishitis ares lo, if let us say the husband would bring proof that the mumin were there while she was still in her father's house after the erusin, that wouldn't work. We said even though she's still in her father's house, that is not enough for the husband's benefit. Ve'amai, why should that not be enough? Lema kan nimtzu v'kan hoyu. In that case, why couldn't the husband say, here, I brought proof that the mumin were there while she was still in the father's domain, and as we saw, according to Rava, that is, once a mum is, let's say, exposed in the father's domain, so the burden of proof falls on the father, and without that, the husband should be believed. So that the husband should be believed, even if he could bring proof that the mum developed after the erusin, but while she was still in her father's domain. And yet, the Mishnah is insistent on the husband, in order to defend his position, that he have to bring proof that they were there from way before, from before the erusin. Omar Lay. So Rava answers, Mishinis Arsa, the case or the situation of bringing, of the husband bringing proof that the mumin were there after the erusin, after that point in time, you want to know why that's not going to help? Mishum de'iko lemeimar, because there is an additional chazoka that is going to work against the husband in that case. And what's this additional chazoka? Chazoka ein odom shoyse bekois elo imkein bodko. V'hai ro'o v'nefayizhu. What's this new status? This new chazaka? The chazaka is I would call it, as we said, we termed it before, a social assumption. That people, here first we'll translate, a person doesn't drink from his cup until he checks it out beforehand. If you want to just focus on the literal understanding of that, if a person is, let us say, he's going to be drinking a cup of water, he looks into the cup of water to make sure that there is no, let's say, foreign bodies that are doing the backstroke or, you know, floating around in his cup of water before he drinks. So now, let us add another extremely important detail. the Tanaic source from which Abaye was asking was a case of Nichnas al Rishus HaBaal. We're talking about a case of she had entered the husband's realm. That means there was chuppah, there was the marriage canopy, and there was an initial act of intimacy. The man isn't going to take her into the chuppah, take her under the marriage canopy, that final stage, unless he checked her out before. So that's an assumption. That's a chazakah. There's what called the accepted status of people's behavior is that prior to their bringing them into the chuppah, they would have checked them out. So here you have a case of a man that had brought her into the chuppah because the source said nichnas l'rishus habaal. So that being that we've gone so far of nichnas l'rishus habaal, that establishes an additional, let's say, problem for the husband insofar as, hey, buddy, you must have checked her out before you took her into the chuppah, before you went this far. You must have checked her out, and you saw whatever, you know, as you saw, it means you became aware of through the female checkers that we mentioned before in the Merchatz. You must have checked her out some way, and you, whatever was there, you accepted. So if the husband at this point, after Nichnas al Chuppah, after Nichnas al Rishus HaBaal, he brings proof, he merely brings proof that the women were there after Erison, that's not going to help in this case. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that be the case, so why then will it yes help the husband if he can bring proof that the womb was there before Erison? So what? You're talking about a guy that's gone this far. We've already gone into she's Nichnas al Rishus HaBaal already. Ihachi, the Gemara asks, Ad shelotis ares nami, even if he were to bring proof like you suggested before that the Mumen were there before the Erison, still the same chazaka against the husband is operative. Namely, the chazaka of Ein Adam Shoyse, and yet doesn't seem to bother you then. Namely, if the husband can bring proof that the Mumen were there before the Erison, we say that the Baal will win out. Ela Amrinon, we must be saying then, why is the Baal believed if he can bring proof that they were there before the Erison? Because of another status, another chazoka, another assumption. Chazoka ain't on a mefayas b'mumin. People don't compromise with that situation. They don't agree. They don't console themselves with the presence of mumin. It's something they don't accept. Hachonami, so here too, even if he were to bring proof that the woman were there after the Erison while she was still in her father's domain, he has something working on his behalf, namely, Chazoka ain't all the Mephias b'mumin. People cannot come to terms with mumin. It's something that it's part of what we call the human experience, a human phenomenon that something we can't expect of people. The husband cannot be expected to agree to live with a woman with mumin. So if that be the case, we're still left with a question. Why, if Rava's explanation is correct, that kan nimsu kan hoyu is reason enough to put the burden of proof on the other side, why then was it so important for the Baal to bring proof that the Mumen were there before the Erison? Wouldn't it have been sufficient for the Baal to bring proof that they were there while she was still Birshusav, even after Erison? Ella, the Gemara answers. In other words, here you have Rava answering. The answer here is a long answer. Take note of the fact that it goes down quite a few lines down. Ayin Vav Amid Aleph. Ella Mishinis Arsa. The reason that the Baal will not win out if he brings proof of the presence of the Mumin after Erusin, Mishum Diikotarti. Because in that case, the husband is confronted by two chazokas working against him. Number one, chazoka, Hameid Agufa Cheskoso. The woman had a Cheskas Aguf, that she was born without blemishes. And the occurrence of the blemish then must have been some point later in time after he already married her. And if that be the case, the husband would have to lose out. V'chazoka, ein adam shoyse b'koyis elim yin bodkoy v'hai rov v'nefayishu. And as far as this section of the source that we were quoting before, that Abaye quoted before, yeah, it's after Nichnaso l'Reshuso. He waited so to this late stage in time, he must have already known about the Mumin and agreed and was mispayes, agreed to live with her that way. My Amris, what can you say on behalf of the husband? Chazoka ain't all the mefayes b'mumin. In his favor, is that all you can say? That people cannot be expected to, you know, even if they're aware of Mumin, they can't be expected to live with them. Fine. Have, the Gemara continues at the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, Have Chada B'Mokom Tarti. You've got one Chazoka in his favor. You've got two Chazokas in her favor. The Chada B'Mokom Tarti Lo Amrinon. And when it's one against two, so we don't enable the husband to win out. However, ad shelo tisares, if the husband can bring proof that the Mumin were there before the Erisin, then hameid haguf al chizkosoy lo iko lememar, then she no longer has the benefit of the cheskas aguf, because the proof that he is bringing that the Mumin were there before he even married her works to invalidate or to void the otherwise potential cheskas aguf. There's a Rashi that we'll look at together on the top part of the Rashi commentary, second, third line. Ad shelo tisares, aval hecho shevi edim, where if he brings witnesses, shero bo ad shelo tisares, that can testify that they saw this moon before the erusin, hameid haguf al cheskoso leko lememar lehodia shelo hoyu bo b'shas kiddushin the ha kaimi edim. So the cheskas haguf that would have informed us that she didn't have Mumin at the time of the marriage, that no longer can be maintained because you have witnesses countering that. So let's continue in the Gemara. Given this case of the Baal bringing proof of presence of Mumin before Erisin, so she doesn't have the Cheskas Haguf. My Iko, what might there still be for the benefit of the woman? Chazoka d'ein odom shoyse b'koyis Elohim kein boikoy. V'hai rov v'nefayesu. That since we're talking about a case of nichnaso l'reshus habal, he must have known about the woman before he took her in, and he agreed to be with these women. Adarabah. We have to counter that. Chazoka ain't other mefayis b'mumin v'hameid mamon al cheskoso. A person is not expected to compromise with mumin, and he has a cheskas mamon. So that when you, as Rashi said earlier, Rashi points out that we didn't read it together, but Rashi pointed out on this on the top line, second line from the top, that the concept of the husband's cheskas mamon is meaningless when she has a cheskas haguf. But when she doesn't have a cheskas haguf, as is true here, where he brought proof that the mumen were present before the kedushin, before the erusin, so the husband's cheskas hamamon stands him in good stead. So that as far as the two chazokas concerning mumin, on the one hand, the chazoka that ain adam shoyse b'kosim v'botko v'hayra v'nefayas, that chazoka, which would have been to the benefit of the woman, is cancelled out by the chazok of ain adam nefayas b'mumin. So what are we left with? We're left with the cheskas mamon that the husband enjoys. That's what he benefits if he brings proof of the presence of Mumin before the Erusin. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi, a third approach to deal with the Reisha and Seifa of the Mishnah. First of all, Rav Ashi will tell you that the entire Mishnah is in accordance with Rabban Gamliel, and the Cheskas Haguf that a woman has when she's in her father's domain is a stronger chazaka than a cheskas mamon. And the question then is, if the cheskas haguf is understood to be a strong chazaka, then why is it that when she's in the domain of her father, does the Mishnah say that the father has to bring proof, and that cheskas haguf that she has doesn't work? Once again, we're focusing right now at this point in time on the reisha of the Mishnah. When she was still in the father's domain, the father has the burden of bringing the proof that the mum developed after the erusin, making the husband's deal a mekach tos. But in the absence of that, the husband will win out, even though she has a cheskas haguf. So Rav Ashi says, Reisha, in the Reisha, mono li'abo biyodcha. You have the girl claiming that when you married me, I didn't have the mumen yet. The mumen developed after you married me. And as a result of that, and you want to divorce me, you have to pay my father the ksuba, because I'm still a minor. So it's really the girl is putting a claim in on behalf of her father, so to speak. So that the father of the girl, he cannot benefit from the cheskas haguf that his daughter has. It's her body, so to speak, and hence the cheskas haguf of the girl doesn't help the father's claim. The seifa, in the case of the seifa, it was already mono li biyadcha. In the seifa, the argument, we'll say, between the husband and the wife was an argument where the woman is putting the claim in for the ksuba payment that would go to her, to herself. And therefore, if the Baal doesn't bring proof, so she is able to benefit. She would be believed. Let's take a look at Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines, the third narrow line from the beginning. Rav Ashi Omar, Mehader Nami Luk Mekula Karam Gamliel, the Chazoka de Gufa Adifa. As we mentioned, Rav Ashi is setting up the Mishnah not as a split authorship as Rabbi Elazar did, but the entire Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Gamliel. And that the Chazoka de Gufa, the Chazoka that a woman has, that she was born blemish free, Adifa, that's a stronger Chazoka than, we'll say, the husband's Cheskas Momen. The Reisha Lahochi Lo Mahanya Chazoka de Gufa. And in the Reisha, why is it that the Chazoka de Gufa that the woman had doesn't help? And we saw in the Reisha that the father would have to bring proof, and if not, then he loses out. Lefi she'ein ha'taina shelo elo shelovia. In the Reisha, the claim is a claim not really of her own, but it's on for the benefit of her father. Sheksubas erusin la'av, the ksuba that would be paid before the consummation of the marriage, that is a ksuba that would be paid to the father. V'havile, and in effect, it is mono la'avo biyotcha. V'gabi av lo amrinon beguf shelo detene chazkosa. Regarding the father's claim, we don't say that her body status helps his claim. Esve Rav Acha Brei Derava Brei Derav Avya Rav Ashi. We are of course turning back to the Gemara. Rav Acha asks Rav Ashi. We have a Tanaic source, but we should point out before we read the source as follows. Even though we say that nichnas l'rishus ha'baal, the baal has to bring proof. Moide Rabbi Meir, we're reading now in the text. Moide Rabbi Meir, maybe Rabbi Meir will concede. B'mumin ha'ra'uyin lavoi ima mibeis avia shal ha'av lahavi raya. That even though we have a situation of their marriage stages have advanced to the point that she's entered the husband's domain. In the case of Mumin Huriyun Lavo Imo Mibe Savia, the father has to bring proof. Even though she was Nichnasa the Rishus Habal. Now, when we speak about this Mumin Huriyun Lavo Mibe Savia, Rashi says, we have a little star, if you can find it across from here more or less, in the Rashi, because HaKadaitach, B'chol Mumin Sheesh L'Safek, V'lomar Shebeis Oviyabo. Our thinking right now is that any Mum that might have existed already in her father's house is what we're talking about. That's the thinking, the HaKadaitach at this point. We're going to change that shortly, but in the meantime, Rabbi Meir concedes that even though we've said that once she's nichnas l'rishus ha'baal, the husband has to bring proof, Rabbi Meir will concede that when you're dealing with these kind of women, that the doubt arises, maybe they were there before, that the father has to bring proof, even though she's nichnas l'rishus ha'baal. V'amai. Why should that be? If Rav Ashi is correct, why should this be? Mono li biyadchahu. She has her claim of the money is to be paid to me. And once again, why not say, as Rav Ashi claimed, that the Cheskas Guf is stronger. And she has the benefit of the Cheskas Guf. It's no longer a case of mona la abo biyotcha. It's mona li biyotcha. And we said, when it's mona li biyotcha, she can benefit from her Cheskas Guf. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'may askinan. The source where Rabbi Meir concedes that in a particular case, even though it's Nicholas or Shus HaBaal, the father has to bring proof, be Yaseres. Yaseres is a sixth finger. A sixth finger, an additional digit, let's say on her hands or on her leg, on her feet. And with regard to a Yaseres, this, you can't say that it developed after the Erusin. So the Gemara says, Yaseres, you're talking about a sixth finger? My Raya Maisi, what Raya could the father possibly bring? In the source where Rabbi Meir concedes that even though it's Nichnas L'Rishus HaBaal, the father would have to bring proof to enable him to win out. What? And here you can't say that the father is going to bring proof that it developed after the Erusin. It's something from birth. So what proof could the father possibly bring to help his case? Answer, Raya derav v'nefayasu. He can bring proof that his son-in-law over here that the husband, he saw it and he approved of it and he was willing to live with it. And in the absence of that, so then if the father can't bring that kind of proof, so then the because you're dealing with this type of mum of a yaseres, so the husband will win out. I believe that in the event that the father cannot bring this proof, then the husband is left with his benefiting from the chazoka of Ein Odom Mefayes B'mumin. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.